We've been talking about standing in the storm, and it's been a couple of weeks since we've talked about standing in the storm. But if you remember, we started looking at Matthew 7, and I'll just read through this again. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and he fell not, because it had a foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears those words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built a house on the sand. The rain comes down, the stream rose up, the wind blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. So what was the difference between the two men? The foundation, but what made the foundation? Okay. Keep going. Okay, what did he dig deep in? Into the Word, right? Into God's Word. It says, I've got it highlighted right up there, I think. Hear the words of mine and put them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house in a rock, right? So the man who heard the words and put them into practice, and later it says in verse 29, everyone who hears these words and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man. So the difference is what? Putting the word into practice, right. So in this parable, it wasn't prayer, it wasn't faith, it wasn't confessing, it wasn't just hearing the word that made the difference between the guy who built the house on the rock who stood and the one who didn't. It was he was doing the word of God, right? So he heard and he did the word of God. And then we looked at the parable in Mark of the sower. Then Jesus said to them, do you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown, and as soon as he hears it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they fall away quickly. Still others are like seeds sown among thorns. Hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, the desires of other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like the seed sown on good soil, hears the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, 60, some 100 times what was sown. So what is the seed? The word of God. What's the ground? Our hearts. And what's the fruit? What the word does, right? And in this parable, remember that they're talking about four different groups of people. So 75% of those people, they didn't do the word, right? They heard it or it was plucked away. And only 25% of them, that last group, others like seed sown on good soil, heard the word, accept it, and produced a crop. So they were doing the word of God. In verse 15, and this is what we're going to lead in tonight. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown, and as soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes it away, the word that was sown in them. So it was as if they didn't understand the word of God. And in the next group of people, they understood the word and did well for a while, it says, right? But then they became offended because of the word. And then the third group was they produced fruit for a while, and then they became unfruitful, or they backslid. The cares of the world choked out the word in their lives. And we talked about the word cares, and meaning fearful concerns, right? And fear was the cause of failing. And remember what fear is? False evidence appearing real. So lies, right? And so we saw there were three reasons that we go through storms in life. One is just flat out disobedience to God. When we're disobedient, we go through storms. Because we're obedient and doing the will of God, there's times that we go through storms, we're persecuted. And then there's sometimes that there's storms because of people in our lives that we're in contact with. We talked about examples of a husband and wife where the husband may be a Christian and the wife isn't, or other way around. Or kids that may be Christians and some kids are not. And so we're around people that we may not be able to avoid, and we deal with the storms because of them. And then the next thing we talked about was deception. We're just not having good buttons tonight. Was deception. There we go. And we looked at the armor of God and how the armor of God is used to help defeat deception. We talked about the different stages that Satan uses. You know, one of the first things that he tries to get us to believe he's not real. And so, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, not powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And so once Satan convinces us that, or once we convince Satan that, yes, he's real, then he tries to tell us, well, okay, I'm real, but you can't beat me. You have no power over me. And in 1 Peter, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And I heard another pastor preach on this passage, and he used the word, whom he may devour, and he used the example, if I come to your house and say, may I have a glass of water, are you required to give me a glass of water? No. I'm asking for your permission, right? And so, whom he may devour, so it's your option to deny me the water, and so it's our option to deny Satan's power in our lives, right? And so it's our option to deny him, but a lot of times due to lack of knowledge, which we're talking about, we usually don't realize that. We don't realize that we have to give Satan permission in our lives. So once Satan, once we convince Satan that yes, you are real, and yes, I have control over you, or I can overcome you, then he tries to tell us that the Bible isn't true. And in Ephesians it says, stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. So our number one safeguard against deception is what? Truth, the Bible, the Word of God. In John 8:31, the Jews said that who had believed him, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples, then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So there's nothing like the truth. So then we convince Satan, or we battle against Satan, and we say, yes, the Word of God is true. And then he says, well, you're not worthy. You're not worthy of the righteousness of God. And again, the armor of God with the breastplate of righteousness in place. So once we have a firm hold on the truth of God's word, like I said, he's going to try to convince you that that you're not worthy to receive what the Bible says that you're worthy, that's yours. And we know that in God our past doesn't exist anymore. That once we give our mistakes and our faults to God and repent of them, he forgets them. And so then we move on. You're too busy to work for God. And so Ephesians 6:16, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which with which you shall extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. And we looked at the definition of faith, which is in Hebrews chapter 1:11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So Satan knows what you believe, and he knows that the things that you believe directly affect the decisions that you make. So if you don't believe, I'm trying to think of an example. Well, let's go back to righteousness. If you do not believe that you're righteous in God's eyes, then your decisions that you make in life are going to be affected by that belief. If we believe that we're righteous in God's eyes, the decisions that we make in life are going to be affected by that belief. So if Satan can get you to believe something other than God's word, which he's going to try to do, he can cause you to choose death and cursing instead of life and blessing. So he wants to get you to not to believe God's word. And so when you hear things, either you tell yourself things or other people tell you things, you got to go to the Word of God and look it up. Because if it's not in the Word of God, then it's a lie, it's a deceit. And Satan will use those things against us. Then he tells us it doesn't matter what you believe, it doesn't matter what you think. You've heard that people say that. The armor, the helmet of salvation, the helmet covers our mind. It's there to cover our mind. Our thoughts are important. our imagination is going to produce corresponding behaviors, good behaviors, bad behaviors. And then in Genesis, it says, the nothing they plan will be impossible for them. So if you want your life to be the way that God says it should be, you need to think like God thinks. You need to imagine your life the way God sees your life. And how do you know that? How do you think like God thinks? His word. We got to be in His word and to read His word and to put His word in our heart. And then we start to think like God thinks. And we learn to imagine ourselves in the way that God sees us. It doesn't matter what you speak. The final piece of armor, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The devil hopes to convince you to be casual about your words. And in Mark it says, truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself in the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that, what they will say will happen and it will be done for them. Satan knows that this principle will work for you or against you, depending on what kind of words are coming out of your mouth. If you're using words out of your mouth that are negative, that are not of God, then those words come true. If you keep telling yourself you're not worthy to be a Christian, or you tell yourself that that your past is too bad to be redeemed, then you know what? That's what happens. So Satan knows that that principle works for you or against you. So you have to listen to the words that come out of your mouth. Guard the words that come out of your mouth. And the devil knows he can't defeat you if he can't deceive you. So his whole goal is to deceive. And once he deceives you, then he knows he can defeat you. So we have to overcome the deceit. And the only way to do that is knowledge, right? Knowledge of the Word of God. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight some more, is see some of the things that cause us to fall in the storm. In Matthew 13, I think you might have to just shut the whole thing off. Yeah, thank you. Sounded like a thunderstorm. We're talking about storms, right? Did you guys hear that?
Yeah.
Okay. It was a storm. But we couldn't be deceived, so we weren't defeated. So in Matthew 13:19, when anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is a seed sown along the path. So this is that same parable that we read in Mark, but it's out of Matthew. So it's saying here that we hear the message of God, right? But if we don't understand it, if we can't comprehend it, then the evil one is going to come and snatch that seed, snatch the word that was sown in our heart, and take it away from us. A funny story. There was a poor, and I mean poor as in poverty-stricken, pastor who was livid when he confronted his wife with the receipt of a $250 dress that she bought. He said, how could you do this? You know we can't afford this. She said, I don't know. I was standing there in the store and I was looking at the dress and I found myself trying it around on and the devil kept whispering to me, oh, you look nice in that dress and you should buy it. And the pastor said, you know what? How to deal with him. You just tell him, get behind me, Satan. And she said, I did. But then he said, it looks great from back there too. But she had a lack of understanding, right? Lack of understanding of how to deal with Satan. And that's a funny example. But a lack of understanding can cause a lot of trouble in our lives. Understanding is that mental revelation. It's something that's clicking in our mind. And after Jesus showed his disciples the mysteries of the kingdom by parables, and in the beginning of the parable we just read, if you remember, he said, have you understood all these things? And Jesus was looking for more than just people to nod their head, yep, I understand, casually, or just kind of a mental agreement of, yeah, I understand. He wanted all who heard him to understand that the principles and the truths that he was teaching of the kingdom involves responsibilities to act upon them. So we actually have to do something to understand those. And Jesus said that he who has ears to hear, which is with understanding, let him hear, right? And when he says he who has ears to hear, it's not just hearing, but it's also understanding and doing the word of God. And he says, let him hear, which means then do it. So hear it and then go do it. So to have an understanding of the Word of God, we know that it takes the help of the Holy Spirit. Many people read and quote the Word of God without understanding its meaning. They use Scripture without understanding of what it truly means. And in Matthew it says, but what about you, he asked. Who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but my Father in heaven. So the Spirit of God revealed to Peter who Jesus was. Peter was kind of a hothead. He was a hothead fisherman, if you want to call it. Right, Mike? It's an inside joke. Hot-headed fisherman. He didn't have education. He didn't go to Bible school. He didn't do that, but he had a relationship with God. And because he had a relationship with God, God was able to reveal to him who Jesus was. And so to understand the Word of God, it takes the Holy Spirit in our lives to help us do that. It's important for us to remember that the Holy Spirit wrote the Word of God. And to have an understanding, again, it takes the Holy Spirit to understand the Word of God. In Peter, it says, for prophecy never had its origin in the human will. But prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit wrote the Word of God. Therefore, we need the Holy Spirit to understand the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is willing to teach us. I don't even know where I belong. The Holy Spirit is willing to teach us. That's where I belong. In 1 Corinthians 2:14, it says, a person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolish. So if we don't have the Spirit of God in us, we hear the things of God and we think it's funny or foolish. Not funny, but foolish or not important. And we can't understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. So the natural man can find bits and pieces of truth and knowledge in Scripture. He can find history in Scripture. He can find love stories in Scripture. He can find God's wrath in Scripture. But he can't receive that word of life, the life that comes from the Word, because that's what's spiritually understood. And having the Spirit of God in us helps us understand and get life from the Word. Proverbs says, for the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. The Word is not just a textbook of wise sayings. You know, it's not just a book of good things and good poems. It's a living Word of God that is a hammer and a fire. And if we look in Jeremiah, it says, "Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and not like a hammer that breaks rocks into pieces." I was working with a gentleman in the jail, and I encouraged him to keep reading the Word of God, and I explained to him that knowing the Word of God was powerful and alive and dividing of the thought and the intent of the heart. But without understanding, he was only interested in the historical value of the Word of God. He was looking at history and trying to understand it from a logical sense, but not from a spiritual sense. And I could not get him to look at the Word of God and apply it and to look at it as from the Spirit. He looked at it from the natural man's mind. And a few months later, after he got out, he died from a drug overdose. He didn't have the Word of God in him. He read it. He knew what it said, but he never put it in his heart. He never understood it the way the Spirit causes people to understand it. So how can something that tragic happen? Is the Word of God as effective as it says it is? Jesus was talking to the Bible teachers, the Pharisees, in Mark, and he replied, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. So we can say all the right things and we can walk the walk, but if we don't, in our hearts, we're not living for God, then we're a hypocrite, right? Matthew 7, or Mark 7, thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you've handed down, and you do many things like that. Our approach of the word of God affects our understanding. So if we come and approach the word of God with a intellectual mind, and I want to intellectually understand it, then that's how we're going to understand it. We're not going to be able to apply it to our hearts. Our preconceived notions can get us into trouble. You know, if we've always been told that this is not the true word of God, that it's lies and it's just a book of poems, and that's how we look at it, that's how we'll apply it to our lives. And so our notions can get us into trouble because of no understanding. God provided to the church gifts for understanding. In Ephesians, Paul is writing to the church of Ephesus. It says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. This tells us that when we come to church that we can expect to be challenged, we can expect to be exhorted, we can expect to be pressured, we can expect to be polished, we can expect to be instructed. And that's why that's the way God has to bring the church to the mature understanding of the Word of God. That's why it's so important for us to pay full attention when we hear the teaching of the Word of God, because a wandering mind and sleeping is the devil's way to keep us from receiving the Word of God or receiving the seed. He'll pluck it away from our hearts. We have to pray for understanding. So there's times we read Scripture and it doesn't make sense, and we read it again and it doesn't make sense. But if we ask God to clarify that and to help us understand that, He can help reveal to us what that Scripture means. Again, in Ephesians, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. This is Paul writing to the church of Ephesus. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. So he was asking, he's asking the Spirit of God to give the church wisdom, to give the church revelation, because with that, then they can learn to know God better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glory and inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength. Paul was concerned that the church of Ephesus had forgotten the great benefits of serving a great and glorious God, the responsibilities of serving God, and they needed understanding of the Word to see the goodness of God. So it's Jesus' desire for you to understand the Word of God. He wants you to understand it. In Luke it says he opened their minds. So God can open our minds so we can understand the Scripture. Jesus was aware of the difficulty of trying to explain Scripture without the help of the Holy Spirit. We can try and try and try, but without the help of the Holy Spirit, we can't. A lot of times we can't understand that. So he said, in the Scripture says he opened their minds so they could understand. He opened their understandings before the day of Pentecost, and he explained to them. He had also explained to them before the two as they went to Emmaus, but they didn't have understanding until he took the veil off, it says in Scripture, off their hearts by the illumination of his Spirit. There shouldn't be a question that there's great benefits for understanding the Word of God, to have that understanding. Psalm 119 says, I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. God wants us to have an abundant life now. Not tomorrow, not a month from now, but now. He wants us to be the head, not the tail. He wants us to be the top, not the bottom. He wants us to have understanding. And if we have understanding, we have insight more than the teachers. And teachers are referring here to intellectual teachers. He tells us that if we meditate on his word, he's going to make us wiser than them. They may be smarter. They may know where the word is better. Or more correctly in Scripture, but it makes us wiser. So we need to meditate on His Word. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not unto your own understanding. So many times we lean on our understanding and not the Word of God. So we need to rely on the Word of God. The story is told of a man who was walking down the street, and he saw a young mother walking toward him with her son and his puppy. And the puppy was dancing all around, and the little boy was playing, and the little boy began to giggle and laugh. And the mother turned to the boy and said, and put her hand over his mouth and told him, "No, don't laugh. Stop laughing." And the man was curious, and he asked the woman, "Why shouldn't he laugh?" And she said, "The Bible says, 'Woe to you that laugh, for you shall mourn and weep.'" So she's taken scripture, knowledge, or not knowledge, I'm sorry, understanding, the right word. She's taken scripture that she's heard, right? And she's applying it incorrectly. And so she meant well, but it's sad because she didn't have an understanding of what the scripture meant. She was using it out of context. God has never intended to suppress laughter of children, has he? But the scripture was meant for those who scorn God, who laugh at God, who mock God. But the woman didn't understand that. James was very much aware of the danger we have in misunderstanding God's word and God's purposes. And so he says that we're to ask God for wisdom, we're to seek wisdom from him, and he will give it liberally and without reproach in James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God. So if you don't understand the word of God, what do? Ask him. Pretty simple formula, right? If you lack wisdom, ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. He's not going to look again at who you are, where you've been, what you've done. He's not going to find fault. He wants to give you the wisdom that's in Scripture. So all we have to do is ask. And that's the reason that we need to ask, because it will bring us to right understanding of the things of God. It'll help us to understand the things that we need to understand. So in closing here, to stand in the storms of life, we have to understand, or we have to have the knowledge of the Word of God in our heart. Not just know where it is, not just know what it says, but the wisdom and the revelation and the knowledge. And the best way to get that is to ask, right? We just ask God. Okay, so let's pray. Lord God, we're so thankful for your Word, and we're so thankful that we have it, Lord, at our fingertips. Lord, there's so many people in this world that don't have your Word. They don't have access to it, Lord. And Lord, I've read stories about people who have 2 or 3 pages of the Bible, and they treat it as their prized possession because they know what value is in your Word. And Lord, I just pray for each one here tonight that you'll help us to open our hearts and our minds to your Word, Lord, and help us to read it with understanding, with wisdom, with knowledge, and apply it to our lives, Lord. And if we come upon Scripture that we don't understand, Lord, I encourage us to ask you to help clarify that Scripture in our lives. Lord, because, again, Satan will use things against us, Lord, and deceive us, especially if we don't know. So there's lies that he tells us. There's fears that he puts in our lives. But there's Scripture that counteracts that. There's Scripture that can defend that, Lord. But we have to know that Scripture. We have to have it applied to our hearts. We can read the Scripture all we want. We can know where they're located, Lord, but if we don't understand them, when we don't have the Word in our heart and the light in our heart, Lord, it doesn't do us much good. So I just pray tonight that you'll just help us to have understanding, Lord, to have knowledge, to have wisdom, that you give that all to us, Lord, that you give it to each of us. I thank you for each one here. I pray that you bless them, Lord, as they leave here tonight, as they go about their week. Lord, encourage them to spend time in your Word. Lord, we encourage them to just open the Word and digest it, Lord. Let it be a meal to our souls, Lord. Let it fulfill the needs in our lives, Lord. Let it fulfill the desires that we have. Let it fill the emptiness, Lord, that we have in our lives. The Word of God can fill that if we allow it to. We're so thankful for these things, and we ask them in your name. Amen.